Blog Talk Radio.
It's Business Baby with Melissa Amber on Blog Talk Radio. Savvy solutions for your business.
Good evening. We are on with Business Baby with Melissa Amber. And today we have a guest, Diane Riley, The Kitchen Table. So all of you out there that, you know, like to cook or like me that don't like to cook, we're going to talk today about some quick tips. So I'm going to talk about her cookbook and, you know, pretty much anything around cooking and in that kitchen. And, you know, even though, you know, she likes to cook and she's written a book, you know, it's business, baby. We're all about the business. And writing a book, it takes time. It takes resources. It takes preparation. And through all of that, it's a business. And we still run into those challenges, and we look for solutions to find efficient ways to go through that process. So Diane Riley is on the show today.
Yeah.
The Kitchen Table. So how are you doing, Diane?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I am wonderful. So tell us, The Kitchen Table, what is that? How did you come up with that name?
Yes, ma'am. The Kitchen Table is a catering company. We do catering services, personal chef services, and the reason why I came up with the name is because when you think of food and you think of family and think of gathering, people think of the kitchen table at home. And I chose that name because when I go to an event or when I plan an event with my clients, I want the clients and their guests to get that feel of being at home with your friends. The kitchen table is just like this this symbol that's in a home, and it brings memories and it's associated with food. So that's why I came up with the name The Kitchen Table.
Okay, so is that the name of your catering company as well as your book?
Just the name of the catering company. My book right now is Cooking on Purpose, and the book is basically about a journey, my journey from where I started as a little girl to where I am now in business, and how that journey led me to fulfill my passion and to pursue my passion, to fulfill my purpose. And so I let the readers follow along, and I give advice. I give how the kitchen is run. I give details about what it's like in culinary school, everything about associated with my life around cooking. And also it'll help other aspiring chefs, other at-home cooks, you know, to hone their skills and make memories of cooking in their family also, because I share recipes in the book.
Okay, so how did you get started in that? Is it, you know, you just, since you were small, you just like cooking, staying in the kitchen, or was it something that developed over time?
It developed over time, and as I reflect back, I didn't really cook at a young age, but my mom and my grandma and my aunt, everyone that I was surrounded by cooked. They cooked all the time. They cooked big. They shared their food. People would come over. They expected food to be at our house. When family come over, they knew where the food was. So it kind of inspired me later on, and it just came natural to me to be, you know, associated with cooking, to be associated with food. I just had that interest sparked in me at a young age because I grew up, we had a garden. My grandma was the one, you know, around the hood famous for having red beans if they had a funeral. You know, so we just grew up in a home where we cooked food all the time.
Okay.
For every occasion.
Well,
we cooked the food.
We did too. We cooked food, you know, go to grandma's and, you know, yeah,
right,
we cooked
right.
Too. But I don't know what happened with me. I just, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Melissa, you're a cook,
yeah.
It's like, huh? What? Huh? I don't know what happened with that. We did that too. So I don't know. I just couldn't get with it. I couldn't get with the program. I don't know.
And another thing for me is like, you know, I get this sense of urge, like, to serve others, and I get this sense of urge to do something for somebody. So I can do that through my cooking. And my mom always made it seem like it was effortless because when she cooked, it was big pot. So I'm like, Mom, you just cook well. Of course, I had, like, seven seasoned brothers, but I'm like, okay, my mom was just really like to stay in the kitchen.
Wow. I don't know. I was in the kitchen, too. I guess I just leaned up against the wall and held the wall up.
Everybody is not interested in it. It's not an interest for everybody. And I guess that's another reason why I wanted my title, Cooking on Purpose, because nobody cooks just because they want to cook. You have a reason. You have a purpose for cooking. And most of the time, the reason is, I got to eat. Somebody got to eat. I need some food. So...
No, that is right. That is right. But we still got some other things. So, but I guess, you know, the other thing with me, too, is that also, you know, with me not having to be forced into it, well, I guess forced is a strong word, but for me it would be forced into it. If I don't have kids, so I didn't have to worry about, you know, coming home, okay, what they going to eat today, you know, what's going to happen here. So
Right.
I didn't have to worry about that. And, you know, but when I did, you know, have my nephews a lot, you know, as they were growing up, you know, it's three boys, so you could only imagine. It's like, okay, now, I know I can't fix in no sandwiches because they're going to look at me crazy because they're still hungry. So what are we going to do? So my best friend became hamburger helper. I was like, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Hamburger helper, yes, Lord.
Yes, that was my mama go-to when we were, like, when she didn't feel like cooking or we had leftovers and nobody wanted to eat the leftovers. She did hamburger helper. But normally we didn't have a choice. So if she made hamburger helper or if she gave us leftovers, we had to eat it. Like, now with my children,
yeah.
I don't know about everybody else, like, they seem to have a choice. And I'm like, you're not cooking this food. I'm cooking it. But that's how it is now.
Wow. So with your catering business, do you cater only certain events, or you're the all-around caterer, call me, I'll cook it?
Well, I cater mostly corporate fundraisers, special occasions, weddings. I will do a drop-off for birthdays or graduations. I will do a drop-off, you know, for those kind of occasions. I'm working my way to the point to just be specific, but right now I'm not specific. And personal chef services, you know, there's no, I don't know what you call it, but there's no specialty or whatever in choosing personal chef. Someone says they need someone to come cook food at their home or need to drop off a family meal. You know, I can do that. I will prepare and do that.
Okay. Okay, so tell us a little bit about, you know, catering. Let's, you know, discuss, like, some tips. If someone contacts you, how can they make it easy for you to prepare not only a meal but prepare for the event or function that they're having when they call again? What are some things that they can do before contacting you?
Before contacting me, it would be a good idea to have a theme in mind for your event. Whether it's graduation or whether it's birthday, if you have the venue and you know what your theme is, if it's just a regular birthday party with no theme, but if the birthday theme have, like, let's say, like a Hawaiian or a luau or whatever, then you probably would want to consider foods that's particular associated with that occasion, a luau. But if you're having a graduation and you want it to be upscale, up class, or whatever, so it's a good idea to have the theme in mind to know whether I want to give you a buffet with appetizer or if I want to give you a sit-down dinner. So that's kind of a good idea to start with the theme of what do you have in mind. how do you want your guests to be served so I can give suggestions accordingly.
Okay. What will happen, you know, like you say, they may prepare. And say, okay, no, I want a buffet, and it's going to be this type of event. And how often does it happen? I know it has happened. You get to that event, you've done everything you're supposed to do. You prepared, you have, you know, you're ready to go, you set everything up. And as guests start to arrive, you start noticing, why are all these people dressed up when they told me this is going to be a buffet barbecue?
Right.
And so, I mean, at that time, there's really nothing you could do. I know, I get it. But with those type of events, how does that hinder your business, if it does hinder it? I know you still get in and do what you have to do, but how could that affect the way that you prepare for an event?
Okay, well, the example you gave is real scary, because barbecue with a, you know, nice evening attire, former time, like, that's crazy. People gonna be napkins, afraid to get dirty, messy. That's crazy. But as a caterer, I have learned in this business, I haven't been in business that long, but I've been in the industry for years, and I've been in business long enough to have enough lessons. And I'm sure I have more lessons to follow. But what I have discovered is you have to be versatile, and you have to be innovative, and you have to be ready to improvise. Because I have had situations where I have had guests have to change venue locations. I have had guest clients come, and they be like, well, we don't want this many tables. We need that many tables, and we need you to, you know, set up over here. And so it's kind of like, you know, you have to be able to think real fast. You have to be quick thinking. You have to have your stress under control, because sometimes it could get crazy and you'll be like, oh, I don't know why they were telling me this at the last minute. But you have to not let that get in the way, let emotions get in the way. And sometimes it would be, you know, helpful in that situation to actually go to your client, speak to them, and be like, okay, well, this is what we prepare for. This is what we were told, and this is what the contract said, but your guests don't look like they're ready for this type of meal, and, you know, what can we do to accommodate you, or how can we fix this, or is it okay with you if this meal still goes on because it's kind of last minute? So as long as your client knows the situation at hand and how you feel about it, so I guess it's communication. So that's, I mean, like I said, I would have lessons to learn down the road. I have learned a lot of lessons, so it's just helpful to actually be able to think fast.
Okay. What do you suggest for private parties as far as preparation or some quick ideas to, you know, from finger food to sit-down meal, you know, or anything in between?
For private parties and events such as, it's always a good idea to know where the location, where the venue is, because if it's at someone's home, you want to be able to know what items in your kitchen is available for me to use, what do I need to bring, you know, so that's important to know. And if it's a sit-down dinner, the best preparation is to just make sure that you have enough servers to serve every guest at a sit-down dinner, because it's different from a buffet.
Right. No, absolutely. Do you also cater for, you know, events like inside of a home, if they want to have like a private part or something inside of a home?
Yes, actually, I have not did an event inside someone's home, but I'm sure that in the future I will. I had a venue location change. It was supposed to be in someone's home, and then it changed a couple of weeks to another venue location. So, like I said before, you got to be able to think fast and be innovative and improvise on situations that change. But in someone's home, it's all about what the person feel comfortable with you doing in their home. And if I go in someone's home, my first thing is to respect the person and respect their home. If they don't want me using their bathroom in the living room or the bathroom in the hall, you know, it's good to have those details you know, which restroom can I use, which restroom can my employees use, and I make sure that I leave everything clean. Like if I'm using the kitchen, make sure to clean that up. You don't want nobody giving you bad reviews or talking about you or whatever. So I just cater to the needs of my client.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
I
don't know if that's what you were looking for.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what it is, yeah, I mean, like I said, you the cook, Melissa ain't, you know, that ain't my area expertise, I'm just saying. Thought I'd put that out there again, disclaimer, asterisk.
You would never know everything about cooking. There's so much to learn about cooking.
Well, the little things that I do know,
uh-huh.
I'm good.
Yes, cooking is an art, I tell you, I had an instructor, my culinary instructor at culinary school, and he told us that cooking is just controlling the temperature and adding flavor. And that sounds easy, right? That sounds simple.
Yeah, okay.
But how high the temperature has to go, or when I know it's done and it's just going to taste right, did I put enough flavor? Well, you can always add. But you can't take away. So if you put too much, you can't take it out. So, yeah, he made it simple. He broke it down. Cooking is controlling temperature and adding flavor. I'm like, oh, okay, I get that.
Nah, that ain't true. That is a false statement. I will not stand by that.
But that ain't what my grandma and my mom told me, because they just automatically knew. Turn on the stove, put the pot on, put the food on. They just knew.
Well, see, it, you know, with us growing up, they didn't really believe in measuring cups all the time. Most of the time, it was,
no.
You know, with, I would say not even with liquid, but, it, I mean, because most of the time it was like pour there, sprinkle, pour there, pinch this, pinch that. But
right,
my pinching,
right.
Pouring, and dabbing, it wasn't, I thought I did the same amount of pinching and dabbing, but evidently not. So, I just, you know, stay away from some of them things and if I need to, you know, come in, okay, disclaimer, everybody, for those of you that don't know me, you don't want me to cook nothing. Now, if you want me to stir, let me help you stir. Don't ask me to add no, don't say, oh, just put a little bit more salt in there. Don't give me that task.
You can follow a recipe. That's why when my book comes out, you want to cook some good southern and soul food, some comfort food like Mama in the South used to cook. You can follow the recipe. Look at the recipe that I give in my book. And you should do good. If you know how to follow recipes, you got it.
I refuse to share a story that I did follow a recipe on. I'm just going to say, I stay in my lane.
Well, I hope my
we're
going to
go and
like
take it.
To follow.
Okay. That's all I'm going to say. Okay. Okay. So, but we're going to run into a quick break real quick. Let people know real quick, you know, your social media, so if they want to jump on and follow you or tag you.
Okay. I am on Instagram. My business site is at The Kitchen Table LLC on Instagram. My personal Instagram is at Diana Diva Mama. My Twitter is at Diana Diva Mama. And, of course, my business has a Facebook page on Facebook called The Kitchen Table LLC.
All righty. You heard it from Diana Diva Mama.
Yes,
that's
ma'am.
What I talk about. So we're going to run to a quick break real quick. We're going to start our tiny tips, and we will be right back.
It's time for tiny tips with a huge impact.
This is Chef Diana Riley of the Kitchen Table Catering Company, and my tiny tip is mise en place. When you buy my book, it's a cookbook, it has recipes, or when you're trying to follow any recipe, you need to check the recipe first for the ingredients list, and then take inventory of your kitchen. Do you have what's on the list, or do you need what's on the list? Then make a grocery list, and that way you have everything you need to prepare the recipe, and it's called mise en place. It's a French term for getting all the ingredients together. before you start cooking. And this tiny tip was brought to you by Diana Riley of the Kitchen Table, LLC.
All right, we are back with Diana Riley, and as you heard, she left a tiny tip for you, and interesting. I never heard of that, so can you explain?
Yes, ma'am. Mise en place is when you gather all your ingredients, okay, and if it asks for a cup of sugar, a half a teaspoon of salt, you make sure you put all those ingredients that you need separated so that when it's time to cook, you don't have to worry about scrambling. Oh, let me get the salt out the cabinet. Oh, I can't find the flour. Where's the flour? So it just makes it easier and helps the kitchen work run smoothly. And I know growing up, because in my house, in my mama's house growing up, we didn't do mise en place. My mama just took the spice out the cabinet and just put it in the pot. But to make it more, you know, professional or, you know, fancy, just get all your ingredients and put it on the table, and you'll look like you're a chef doing something.
I'm going to go do that right now and see what I look like.
You know, you watch the cooking shows, and they have the little jars, the
I'm
little containers.
I'm going to put everything on the table and do it right now. And when I stand, I'm going to put my hands on my hip. I was like, now.
Nah,
you say I'm going to look like a chef. So let me. We're going to see how that work out. So we have a caller that has jumped on. I will take a picture and post it. She said, this is what I need to do to look like a chef. So here it is. What do I look like? Comments, please. So that I will post that. So we have a caller that's jumped on the line real quick. So, caller, do you have any questions for Ms. Riley?
I do. How you doing, Ms. Riley?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay, I guess, right now. I guess I will be better if you can help me out.
Okay, I'll try.
Okay, so this is the deal. I went and bought this flounder. I went and bought a flounder from the store.
When you started out with this is the deal, that was like, uh-oh.
I bought a flounder from the store like a few weeks ago. It's been in the freezer. Now,
okay.
I've cooked salmon. I've done like a fairly decent job with salmon. But for whatever reason, I have absolutely no idea how to prepare a flounder. I thought I had a salmon, but I got a flounder. So, and I'm actually trying to surprise my girlfriend with a decent meal, but my mind is still whirling. So maybe you can give me some tips on how to do that.
Okay, now, I love flounder. I have not had flounder in a long time. I love it. My mama used to cook it. My mama used to fry it. Now, how do you want your flounder cooked? Do you want it fried? Do you want it pan fried, like deep fried, pan fried, grilled? How do you want it?
Well, I got the pressure, blood pressure, so I can't fry it.
Okay, but you can also bake it, and you can pan grill it. You can bake it. So if you bake it, it doesn't take long. You can't keep it in there too long. You don't want to overcook your fish. So you know, just
what do you call not too long? 10, 15 minutes.
Yes, about 15, no longer than 20 minutes is all it takes.
Okay.
To put it in the oven and cook it. So you're going to, it depends on how you want to season it too. So, but fish is good with lemon. Everybody knows lemon and seafood, lemon. So you just take your salt, pepper, and some lemon juice, and you just season your fish lightly, both sides, put it in the oven. You can add some garlic, you know, cloves to give it a little extra, give it a little extra taste. And you just grill it. Preheat your oven to 425. Put it on a coated pan. Make sure your flounder doesn't stick. and just mm-hmm. let it bake.
What would be good size for it?
Asparagus is a good size for it.
Okay.
Another good size would be potatoes, roasted potatoes. So, yeah, flounder is good fish. Just don't mess it up.
That's easier said. Okay.
But, okay, I got a question. Okay, you said, you know, put on a coat of pan so it won't stick. Now, I've seen some people just because, you know, we don't want to clean the pan. I mean, we'll wash it, but, you know, don't want all that sticky stuff on the pan.
Right,
and
right.
they use a piece of foil, spray it with Pam, and put it on there.
Right.
Is there a difference of not doing it that way?
No. You can still, you can still use the aluminum foil. Just make sure there's oil on the aluminum foil also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I heard
you say
I prefer olive oil also. I prefer olive oil when you season it oil in the pan or oil in the fish.
Yeah, that's what I use.
So not Pam.
No, Pam you can use to spray on your pan, but you still want to drizzle a little bit of olive oil.
Okay. So when you mention pan grilling, you know, why can't, you know, if I'm going to grill it and I have a Georgia mm-hmm. Norman, trust me, that thing is just wonderful. If I put it on there, do you not like the Foreman just because you're a cook?
No, Josh Foreman, that grill is good. That grill does wonders. Now, my husband used the Josh Foreman grill because it faster. It doesn't take long to cook, you know, so you only
mm-hmm.
can do it one way. You don't have variety on a George Foreman grill. Season the food, put it on it, you don't have variety. So, and it cooks fast. So, that's I guess, basically it with a George Foreman.
Well, yeah, I was just saying, I've used them, I think, since he created the dang old thing, and I'll probably, you know, used it so much to where, you know, I kind of burnt one of them up, and I said, all right, it's time to go buy a new one. And I went and got another one. And I mean, when I say I use my Foreman, I use my Foreman. That's a wonderful thing. Thank you, George.
Yeah, you definitely helped me a lot for tomorrow night. Go buy me some red wine.
You was doing it that quick tomorrow night?
Yeah, I was.
So
yeah.
If you didn't know about this call, what were you going to do?
Hey, my imagination. Google is wonderful.
Yes. Okay.
Yes, Google. Well, don't forget my book is coming out. My cookbook is coming out. It'll be here May 7th. So what you can do is order my book, and then if you follow me, you'll know when it's coming. And you can find a nice recipe in there for, you know, to surprise her with that also. You know, we women, we like when our men cook. Don't listen to what nobody tell you. We like when our men cook.
I'm going to find out tomorrow, and I'll let y'all know how it turns out.
Yes.
Well... Well, be sure you go on her Twitter and everything else, and be sure you let her know. And
Okay, I am on Instagram. My business mm-hmm. Instagram is at The Kitchen Table LLC. My personal Instagram is at Diana Diva Mama. My Twitter is at Diana Diva Mama. And also my business Facebook page is The Kitchen Table LLC.
Okay. I would definitely go on to it. And I will be looking for the book, too.
Yes, thank you.
No problem. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
But thank you, caller.
You're so welcome.
So feel free to stay on if you want. If not, you know, we appreciate it. So that was interesting, you know, with the flounder. And I guess I'm glad that he was listening and he called in, because if he's doing that tomorrow night, oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. I can't wait to see the pictures of that plant. But
me too. Yeah, I'm sure he'll do fine. It's easy. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll do fine. So let's talk more about your book. We know it's coming out in May. One,
yes.
Why would someone want to purchase your book? You know, what's different about your book from all the other cookbooks that's out there? And, you know, why wouldn't they go buy Patti LaBelle book instead of your book?
Okay.
So what can they expect?
Okay. Well, what you can expect from my book is very different. I think it's different. I'm not sure if there are any other books like that out there, but I had the concept in my brain for a while, and I just put it to paper. But it's a journey. It's following a chef's journey, a cook's journey. So it's actually telling my readers, how do I get here? What makes me qualified to tell you how to cook this? So it's basically telling you, okay, well, this is the experience, and this is the lessons I learned. And it's also sharing, like, pieces of my life where I made mistakes in my journey. So it's kind of going to help people understand, you know, certain things that happen, it happens for a reason, and also just keep moving, keep pressing, keep pushing, because I didn't get where I am today just by following a straight path. And I think by me sharing my vulnerability and sharing my life, I think people will actually understand and get to know me better. And actually they can get epiphany about their life maybe. Because in the book I also share a Q&A, and I share a recipe for how you can know what your passion and how to figure out your purpose. And I tell how I did it. And if someone's trying to figure that out or don't know, or they know but they just want to be sure, just for informative purposes, you know, they can see how I discovered it. They can see what led me to this cooking journey. How did I get this cooking journey?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a culinary student or you're a home cook and you want to venture out and you want to learn more about cooking, you want to learn more about the industry, then you should get my book also, because it will – lead the path and open up, you know, many avenues to actually go in that direction.
Okay, so it sounds like it's somewhat of a biography, cookbook, self-help. Would that be accurate?
Well, I don't want to say self-help. I really don't want to say self-help, because this book was a learning process for me. This book is a testament of my life. It's really, you know, actually it speaks volumes when you see my journey in the book. And, oh, she had the time and she had the courage and she had the strength to write this cookbook, knowing, you know, this happened in her life and this happened in her life, and she had these responsibilities, and she still had the time to publish a cookbook. So I don't want to say it's a self-help, because everyone is on a journey to discover, you know, who they are, what they can do to improve themselves. And my book don't give you everything you need for that. You know, and I think the only book that you can find that in is the Bible, because I make reference to the Bible quotes of the scripture and inspirational quotes also in my book. But, you know, I still need the Bible to help me. So.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So would you say, you know, as you were going through this process and you was doing your research and everything to prepare for
mm-hmm.
the book and to help you with, you know, the different chapters or sections in your book, would you say, you know, as you hit some challenges, or if you got stuck or just in a certain spot you couldn't move, would you say that, you know, that was your process of moving forward and, you know, being able to continue that journey?
Yes, it actually gave me the drive, because when I put my mind or have this goal set, or I have this vision and I write my vision down, and that gave me the drive to push. The book was one of the things. If I can get this book out, if I can write this book is actually driving me right now into my purpose. It's leading. It has taken the wheel because it's part of my purpose. So that's what that was the motivation. That was what got me over the challenges of writing the book.
Okay. Okay. So on say, you know, a general person that is struggling, you know, whether they're writing a book or they are pursuing a cooking career or anything like that, what are some solutions or tips you can give them of when they hit those challenges or they feel like they're stuck and they're just trying to, you know, get back on that path of, you know, discovering and discovering, okay, this is where I want to go. I need to figure this out. I need to figure that out. What solutions would you have for them?
First, I would suggest that they seek guidance from the Holy Spirit or guidance from, you know, a higher power. Pray about it and, you know, ask for wisdom and discernment to what you should do next. And sometimes it's easier than it's done. You know, we say that, but it's not that easy to, you know, fall down and just, you know, let God take control without you giving him a little bit and you just giving him some. You know, that's hard to do because I've been there. I've been hitting those bumps, and I knew what I should have been doing, but I chose to go my own way. So it's kind of like just be still. Just be still and don't get frustrated with the process. Just go through the process because it's all learning. You're learning whatever stage in life you're at, you're learning. So just take the experience and move on.
Now, I'm glad that you said that, to be still, because sometimes just that alone can make a huge difference of being still, being in that moment, and instead of, you know, forcing it out. Maybe it's the time. I need you to sit still. I need you to just chill, you know, be here for a minute. So I'm glad that you said that about, you know, just being still for that time period.
Yes. Sometimes you have no choice but to be still. When you just messed up and don't know where to go, sometimes you have no choice but to be like, okay, I got it. I'm going to just sit here and listen.
Okay. Wow. Well, I want to thank you for being a part of the show. It's been fun, you know, and with my little cooking comments. But I really enjoyed you on the show today. And, you know, I wish you much success with your book and your catering business. So, you know, let everyone know again when your book is coming out, if you're going to do any book signings, where that will be, if you're traveling, just let us know everything so we can continue to follow and support you.
Okay. First off, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for reaching out
to
me. I don't even know how we got here. I believe in divine connections, so I know that it was meant to be, and I can't even explain how it got to this point, but I want to thank you. Thank you for reaching out to me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. I appreciate this platform. I am on Facebook. My business is The Kitchen Table LLC on Facebook and on Instagram at The Kitchen Table LLC. And also you can follow me on Twitter at Diana Diva Mama. And there I will post updates to where my book signings will be when it comes out May 7th. I also have an upcoming book launch here in my local area of Plaquemine. And I'm going to do a book tour. The book tour is not set in stone yet with dates. But if you follow me on social media, I'll have the dates set where I will be for book signings for my book. But, of course, the book will be available on Amazon and, you know, all those other platforms where you can buy a book.
Are they able to do any pre-orders at this time?
Pre-orders are coming up. I'm not sure yet what date the pre-orders will be out, but it will be soon. It should be in a few days. So, you know, just follow and it'll be coming soon.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and you're very welcome. For contacting me, I'm glad that you did, so I thank you for that. But you're very welcome for, you know, me having you on the show and sharing your story and, you know, being able to use this as a platform to, you know, let people know, you know, cooking can be fun and some of the things that they can do to prepare, that way they could be a better client for someone like yourself.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing all of that. And, you know, be sure, you know, if you're listening to this, is, you know, you could come back here at Blog Talk anytime and listen to the show again, The Kitchen Table with Diana Riley. And, you know, it's going to be on social media. And just be sure you follow her on her social media and, you know, send her questions, you know, let her know that they're supporting her and that, you know, she'll respond back to you. And be sure you're on It's Business Babe social media as well. We're on Twitter. It's Business Babe, B-A-B-1. So be sure you're on Twitter. Hashtag Savvy Solutions. That is what we're about, connecting and having savvy solutions for you so you can be sure that you can, you know, be successful in your endeavors and continue growth and productivity. So thank you again, Diana Riley. Much success.
Thank you.
And have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
Absolutely. Bye.
Bye-bye.